Evening. What does this particular day of the year mean to you and for you? As you ponder that, what Bible passage do you like to associate with Good Friday? And as you ponder that, reflect on the stained glass windows and see how the Bible truths all come together to give us a life-changing message. And as you ponder that, let us turn our attention to the opening sentences as printed out for us in our service bulletin. Heavenly Father,
we thank you for keeping your promise.
Son of God and Son of Man,
we thank you for giving up your life for
us. Holy Spirit,
we thank you for working and confirming in us the salvation Jesus Christ attained for all through the cross of Calvary.
Behold the Lamb of God.
Let us worship him.
Our first hymn, 125, can be found in the red hymnal. We confess our sins.
Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you, and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray. Have mercy on me, according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin, and take away
God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all your sins by the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has removed your guilt forever. You are his own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to his will. Amen. A reading from Holy Scripture through the prophet Isaiah, chapters 52 and 53. See, my servant will act wisely. He will be raised and lifted up and highly exalted. Just as there were many who were appalled at him, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any human being, and his form marred beyond human likeness, so he will sprinkle many nations. And kings will shut their mouths because of him. For what they were not told, they will see. And what they have not heard, they will understand. Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. Yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death, and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. The word of the Lord. Reading from Holy Scripture, Galatians 3. For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse. As it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law.
Clearly, no one who relies on the law is justified before God, because the righteous will live by faith. The law is not based on faith.
On the contrary, it says, the person who does these things will live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a pole. The word of the Lord.
Jesus.
Please stand for the next reading. A reading from Holy Scripture, the Gospel of John, the 19th chapter. Carrying his own cross, he went out to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on each side and Jesus in the middle. Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened to the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this sign, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city. And the sign was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. The chief priests of the Jews protested to Pilate, "Do not write the King of the Jews, but that this man claimed to be King of the Jews." Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes, dividing them into four shares, one for each of them, with the undergarment remaining. This garment was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. "Let's not tear it," they said to one another. "Let's decide by lot who will get it." This happened that the scripture might be fulfilled that said, "They divided my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment." So this is what the soldiers did. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. Later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated.
Thank you.
Can Jesus be accused of being self-serving? He can be accused of it, but the evidence points to something totally different. He was and is, in fact, the most giving person this world will ever know. And this truth is most definitely brought to the front of the line on this day of mixed emotions, is it not? A day we know that Jesus had to die. And yet something is still not quite right about that. This leads us to our three words of truth for this Good Friday. It is finished. What exactly do those words mean for us? They mean that through what Jesus did on that day, each and every one of your sins has been paid for in full. What else do those three words, "it is finished," mean for us? They also mean that we have been given the ability to say no to sin, and also been given the ability to forgive others who have wronged us without having to make payment to us, because the payment already has been made. The words, "it is finished," well, they can be used in a variety of contexts, such as, "I finished my homework." "It is finished," that chore that has been weighing on my mind and been on the honey-do list for a while. "It is finished" in regards to that book I was reading. "It is finished." But those words and those other uses, they do not have the same effect and impact as those three words coming out of the mouth of Jesus. He should not have been there on that cross. In fact, there were some people who were trying to keep him from getting to that cross. Talk about self-serving. One group of people that was trying to keep Jesus from getting to that cross was the Jewish religious leaders, the chief priests and the teachers in the law, amongst others, who in their attempts to reject Jesus as the Messiah would try to trip him up time and time again, only to be tripped up time and time again by Jesus himself. They were the ones who should have known better, as they were the ones who were to be familiar with the Old Testament scriptures and all the prophecies that talked about the Messiah and how to recognize him when he would come in the flesh. And there Jesus was in the flesh doing the things that the Old Testament prophets, by God's inspiration, said he would be doing. And yet in stubbornness, they rejected him as the Messiah and tried to keep him from getting to that cross. And then there were people who were close to Jesus, for example, Peter, who with good intent but wrong intent tried to keep Jesus from going to that cross. And Jesus, if you have to go to that cross, well then, I'm going with you. Not knowing what he was saying. But Jesus had to go to that cross. Jesus knew that. And another person who tried to keep Jesus from getting to that cross, even though he did not know the full implications of what Jesus was up to, but he knew it was not going to be good for him, was Satan himself. And so time and time again, Satan tries to trip up Jesus, throwing temptations in front of him. Because he knew Jesus had come to take him out. For he was familiar with those words of Genesis 3:15. Jesus had to get to that cross. And he did. Why? Why did he need to get to that cross? Well, the why can be summed up for us in what we refer to as the Great Exchange. The Great Exchange is broken down into four segments at a minimum. The first segment is a question. What is it that God demands of us? In a nutshell, the Bible says he demands perfection from us, pure and simple. But the Bible also tells us that we cannot live up to the perfection that God demands of us, and rightly so. We fall short of the glory of God, of the expectations of God. A review of the Ten Commandments compared to our life reveals that we fall short of what God expects of us. And so that leads to that second segment, another question. What does God see when he looks at us? He doesn't see the perfection that he demands of us. Rather, he sees the sin that we are guilty of racking up against him and against one another. Which then leads to the third segment. Okay, we know that God demands perfection of us, but he doesn't see that of us when he looks at us. But we can take care of this. One approach of taking care of it is by the balance beam approach. Well, for every good thing I do, I will track that in thought, word, and deed, and that will help balance out all the not-so-good things I do in thought, word, and deed. But if we try to keep track of all the things that we do good and all the things that we do not do good in our thoughts, word, and deed, we're going to end up needing to see a counselor. And then there's another approach to this problem that we recognize through the Bible. It's called the latter approach. Well, I'll just try harder. Yeah, I messed up this time, Lord, but I'll get it next time. And we climb that rung, and that rung breaks, and we slide down even harder than before. And then there's another way we try to deal with the problem that we have, and that's by the comparison. Well, I'm not as bad as that person down the street. I only kick my dog on Sundays. He kicks his dog every day of the week. So surely God has got to take that into consideration and let me into his heaven. But the Bible says there's a way that seems right to a man. But in the end, it leads to death. We can't cut it. Which then leads to the fourth segment. The Great Exchange. A picture of yourself there in that segment, that box, and also the cross, where our sins are transferred to the cross of Jesus, where they are dealt with fully. And what do we get? His righteousness. Talk about unfair. But talk about so necessary. It is finished, Jesus declared. We don't have to earn God's favor, his righteousness, for it has been completely earned for us already. And Jesus has declared it, so it is finished. In him, Jesus, the Old Testament prophecies find their fulfillment. And so passages that we can add that link up and associate with Good Friday. For example, when John the Baptist was telling the crowd in front of him when Jesus was approaching, look, behold, the Lamb of God, who does what? Takes away the sin of the world, as promised. Or as the Apostle Paul was led to write in the New Testament, he, Jesus, who had no sin, became sin for us, so that in him we might become, again, the righteousness of God. And another passage from the epistles, which points out that while we were still sinners, what took place? Christ died for us. Emphasizing the fact that It was and it is nothing that we can do to earn God's favor toward us that moved him to send his Son into action. Rather, it was purely God's grace, because while we were still sinners, the plan was made and acted on and carried out. Another passage which comes to mind in connection to this day is, be reconciled to God, be at peace with God. And this has been done for us again through the work of Jesus Christ, who has declared, it is finished. Another passage emphasizes that we are justified by grace through faith. That is, we are declared not guilty, not by anything we have done, but purely by God's grace, and that is given to us through faith. Faith needs an object. And if the object of your faith is not Jesus, if it is yourself, you are on the wrong track. Because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. To drive that point home, think about it. What other God has done or would be willing to do what God, the creator of the world, has done in giving up his own Son? He doesn't ask for our sons and daughters, but he willingly gave up his Son for us. Talk about unfathomable love. And then there's the familiar words of John 3:16, which totally highlight the motive of why God would do such a thing and what we get out of it. Let's read it together. It's on the wall. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. All because of God's grace rooted in his Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. The text itself also testifies to the Christ and the fulfillment of the Scriptures. And so it had to be this way that Jesus said, I am thirsty. And no wonder. Think of all the things that he had gone through leading up to his being nailed to the cross. And then the cross itself. Not a walk in the park, death. And so he would be thirsty. And so then, as prophesied, to take care of that thirst, they gave him some bad wine and put it on a sponge and reached it up to him to dab his lips. And with all that done, including our sin paid for, past, present, and future, in full, Jesus said, say it with me, it is finished. It had to be that way. For you, for me, and for all. But do you think the people of this world give much thought to the event of this day, its significance, of what Jesus did with them in mind as well? As a society and even as a church to some degree, we have some blame. It wasn't that long ago when people would get the day off or at least time off to reflect on the events of Good Friday, but not anymore. Is it a wonder then why the world is the way it is? As we don't take time to reflect on why we are the way we are and what is missing in our life? But to help change that, to help the world think about what is truly important in life, that's where God has put you and me in positions to be witnesses. And in order to be witnesses, though, you and I, we need to appreciate and believe and hold firm to what Jesus did with you and me and all in mind. It is finished, he declared. And as you and I recognize this to be of first importance, we then cannot help but then want to share that with others so that it becomes first importance to them. Not just because we want it so, but this is what God wants. He wants all people to come to a knowledge of the truth about sin and grace and be saved. Because he is aware of the tragedies and the problems and the sins that are going on in this world. He knows that on our own we cannot save ourselves, for we are no longer born in the image of God, but rather in the image of Adam, which is sinful, and thus deserving of death. God did not create Adam and Eve to die, but as a result of sin, death has come, and thus we don't like to be around it. And so then we have another opportunity to witness at the death of someone. Why did that take place? We have opportunities to witness when people are struggling with sin and ways to cope with sin and their addictions, whatever those might be. We have, by God's grace, a way to overcome sin and addictions and trials and tribulations, or to at least endure those until the Lord takes us home. So go and make disciples as Jesus has commanded us. And he gives us the means to do that, baptizing them in the name of the triune God and proclaiming the gospel message. Three words which impact our daily life on a personal level and also impact how we deal with one another. To see them as redeemed people of God, even though they may not believe it. And with that in mind, to want to be the salt and the light for them. To put the focus on Jesus Christ and what he has done. It is finished, he has declared. That's what makes this Friday so important and essential. But that's not all we are given. Praise God, because Sunday is coming. It is finished. Your sins indeed paid for in full. And thus we are able to live our life in light of this truth. And also of the fact that Sunday's coming. Amen. Let's join in the confession of faith statement. We read together.
I believe in Jesus Christ, who was crucified, died, and was buried.
We pray. Heavenly Father, you loved the world and gave your Son to liberate us from sin and death by his obedient death on the cross. We confess that without your love, we are lost. Lord of the Church, we thank you for the treasure of the gospel. By your Spirit, keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Strengthen our determination to do what pleases you, no matter what the danger or the cost. By your Spirit, O Lord, grant us patience and endurance. Strengthen us in our work, and do not let us become weary in doing good according to your will. Help us then run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Keep us faithful even to the point of death, that we may receive the crown of life through Jesus Christ our Lord, who has also taught us to pray.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power,
stand and sing hymn 320, On My Heart, Imprint Your Image. Scripture, John 19. Later, Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Now, Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly because he feared the Jewish leaders. With Pilate's permission, he came and took the body away. He was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who earlier had visited Jesus at night. Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds. Taking Jesus' body, the two of them wrapped it, with the spices, in strips of linen. This was in accordance with Jewish burial customs. At the place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden. And in the garden, a new tomb, in which no one had ever been laid. Because it was the Jewish day of preparation, and since the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there.